Good evening, folks, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. And what a beautiful day today here at the Radio Ranch. Oh, it must have been 80 degrees, and the grass is green, the sky is blue. And, oh, it's been a beautiful day here. We thank the Lord for that. And I got Tim with me tonight. Good evening, Tim.
Good evening, Richard. Glad to be here. Good evening, everyone.
And we were just talking before we came on, Tim. You were talking about what a day you had there. A little warm and humid over there in Nebraska. Huh?
Yeah, kind of a strange one. 90s, overcast, a few raindrops here and there, but just real humid and kind of greenhousey hot. So, but it was a good day. You know, I mean, every day is a good day. The Lord made it a wonderful day, but it was. You look out and think, well, that doesn't look too bad, and you go out and it was like, well, it's pretty warm.
Pretty hot, huh?
So,
I can tell you, I've been in a long sleeve all day. We had the windows open last night, and it sure cooled off, and it was cool this morning. I'm not going to say chilly, but it was cool this morning. It was, and so I no complaints here. I know when it's, the 11th of August, and it's cool, and I can spend all day outside in a long sleeve shirt. No complaints.
That's a
here.
Nice day.
Yeah, no
Absolutely.
Complaints here. So, well, we'll have the phone lines open in a few minutes, folks. So maybe about halfway through the program, if you want to call. But I know Tim and I had a couple things we wanted to talk about and share with you as well. So we'll have a quick prayer, and then we'll get on with that. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, Lord, the rain in its season, the green grass, the blue skies, Lord, we thank you. And thank you for the vibrant colors, Lord, you know, that you give to us, Father. Thank you that we just are not in a gray world, that everything is not black and white and gray. We thank you for that, Father, and help us to remember to thank you for all things. You are worthy of praise, you who have put everything into play, Lord, that is here. We thank you for that, Lord. We do thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus, we thank you that you loved us so much that you would die for us. And you did die for us. And we thank you for that. Thank you for taking the punishment and the penalty that we deserved. Help us to remember that every day, Lord. Help us to remember to say good morning to you in the morning and good night at night, and to praise you for all that you give us every day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here, to be able to have fellowship with each other and with you. We ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to be with Tim and myself and your remnant as they tune in, Lord, that we would be of one mind, and that, Lord, that mind would be thinking of you and praising you. Guide and direct us, Lord, and Father, I pray for Jason. Jason's away from home, Lord, this week, helping his father. Lord, we've prayed for Dr. Dan, but I pray for Jason as well, Lord. Continue to strengthen him, Lord, to encourage him, to let him know, Lord, that you are there with him. Remind him of that, Lord. And, and be with him, Father. He's our friend, our brother, and Lord, we wish the very best for him. Lord, we ask you to send angels to be with him as he's traveling. Lord, give him wisdom. Help him to Lord, just to be able to do all that he needs to do, Lord, in taking care of his father. And we thank you, Lord, and we pray knowing and believing. And we pray this to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We gave an update last night on Dr. Dan. Dr. Dan had a stroke last week, and not in the physical, not a good one. Not a good one at all. And he basically got him over to the hospital, and that's where they've got him. And the update last night, if you didn't hear it on the prayer meeting, was, and this was effective Tuesday, at the end of day Tuesday, said we had a good day here today, showed major improvement, were able to manage the pain without drugs. You can see God working and opening doors and answering prayers. Please pass this on. That was from Jason. And so we continue to pray. Amen. We continue to pray for Dr. Dan and Jason, and ask you to do the same thing. And we are praying, believing. And already, as Jason said in that update, he can see the hand of God moving. And so, Lord, we thank you for doing that. We do.
Yes, we do.
We live in a fallen world. We live in a sinful world. And, all creation groans out for the revealing of the sons of God. But, you know, we are not in Eden right now. On this earth and in this land and in this time and place, we just aren't. And so we know that there's we have physical problems, and you know, that's one thing Dr. Dan has sure helped a lot of people out over the years with, physical problems, from a natural from a natural perspective, an herbal perspective, a holistic perspective. And I know he's helped me quite a bit. In children, whether it's a spider bite or an ache or a pain or something you just don't know, he's always been a great resource. So
it's just nice to know that you can get a hold of him, and he's always willing to try to give you the benefit of whatever he knows, and we just appreciate that. I mean, it is a blessing in this day and age, I appreciate him, and I hope that he continues to show massive improvement. I know that the doctors are astounded, so praise the Lord. Whenever I hear that, it immediately brings to mind that it's a miraculous thing. So, we just thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, we hope you are reading your Bible. We have a Bible reading plan on the website, scriptures4america.org, that will kind of help guide and direct you. And, I don't know about you, but I do real good with a guide, with direction, with a little plan. I do real good with that, because I can see, oh, nope, I'm behind, or, I've read ahead. Tomorrow, I think, is Romans 12, and I read that this morning, and so I'll read a little more tomorrow as well, the good Lord willing. That's my plan. But a plan and a guide and a tool work good for me, and so that's why we put this out. Our pastor was a Bible reader. He read, he studied, and he set a good example for us. And so I encourage you to do that. And you may say, I read my Bible. I read my Bible last year. I've read all the way through, and I still read every now and then or something. I've had people say that. Or, I read that Bible a long time ago. Well, I kind of got to thinking, Tim, I was thinking earlier today, and what I talked to you about before the broadcast, Tim has got a beautiful garden. Tim's over in Garden Country, over in central Nebraska. I guess you call it central. It seems pretty central to me.
West Central. Yeah.
And beautiful garden. And boy, they've his son and my daughter, who got married last year to each other, brought some of that bountiful harvest out last week, and boy, we've enjoyed some of it, and I've got a neighbor down the road that kind of same thing. She's she's kind of done the same thing. Brought some, had some extra lettuce and whatnot, and brought down, and we've enjoyed that. And so I was just thinking about gardens today, and I thought I'd bring that up tonight. And the question I guess I had, or the thought that occurred to me, is about weeding the garden. And so I'll give you a couple minutes there, Tim. You tell us about weeding that garden, because you've got a big garden. I don't know what, quarter acre, half acre maybe.
We've got about 10 or 15,000 square feet all told, I suppose, into a garden. I mean, I don't know. I've never done the math on that to see just what it translates into, but yeah, it's probably a good quarter acre or so. And we had, you know, one of the things was just bringing this up, and it kind of just occurred to me, but we were picking green beans actually this evening, and you try to do a lot of that in this time of the year, either in the morning or in the evening. You know, I look for that cooler weather, but one of the things that the kids were all out working there too, picking beans, and they said something about, you know, it's just amazing how you plant those seeds and then they turn into this. I mean, the tomato area looks like a jungle out there. It's about 5 feet high, and you know, those rows were quite wide apart.
Yes.
And you look through that, and my wife made the comment. She said, well, people who don't believe in God have never grown a garden. You know, and I was, you know, what can you add to that? I mean, I'm sure you can explain it all away, just like some people do the miracles of that we were just talking about with some of these other things. You know, it was this or it was that. No, it was a miracle. Those are things that just set you back, or should at least set you back. But anyways, I digress. But talking about weeding, you know, gardening is, I said, my folks raised gardens, my grandparents did, my grandparents were farmers, you know, and you look at those sort of things, and you kind of get this, gardening is, and I sent Richard this, so I thought I would share it, but it, you know, gardening is you start out in the early spring and you kind of weed your garden and get it all cleaned up and get all the early growth cleaned off, and then you go in and turn your soil or till your soil, and you know, while you're tilling it, you're doing your layout or your ditches or beds or whatever particular thing you're doing, and then, you know, it just about never fails. Before you can get it all planted, you got to weed it again, you know, so you're weeding again. And then you're planting, and then you're very carefully weeding everything because you're looking for those fragile little new starts that come up, or being careful around the ones that you already started and set, you know, and so you're weeding around those, and then you're watering, and waiting, and weeding some more, and then finally, after all that weeding and waiting and watering, then you get the harvest. But, it really doesn't take all that long. You set them out in the spring, goodness, you know, you start having tomatoes, and a lot of your produce starts coming in. You start getting some in July, August. It kind of depends. Some's earlier, some's later, but it sure seems like it takes a long time when you do
it. It does, doesn't it?
All that, yeah. But it's really not when you get done, and I was thinking about it, the Bible saying, wait on the Lord, you know, I mean, and we're like, oh, Lord, we're just hurry up and waiting, you know, we're waiting on you.
Yep. We don't garden here at the Radio Ranch, but we grow hay. We don't have to plant it, you know, but we kind of do along the same lines, you know, we kind of plant it out, and, you know, we have to plant it out when the cattle can be on it, and then drag after the cattle are off, and then it's wait. And it's kind of like the harvest here as well. Spent a little time today cutting a little bit of hay and trimming out some areas and that type of stuff. And yeah, it seems like a long time while you're waiting, but then all of a sudden it's there. And
yeah,
I'm glad you brought that up about the what your wife said about the people that don't believe in God must not have ever gardened, because there's so much there. There truly is, you know, just planting the seed. We're told that throughout the Bible, to plant the seed. And so, you know, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when he walked on the earth, I don't think he crammed anything down anybody's throat. You know,
no.
He put truth out, and he planted seeds. And, you know, the parable of the sower comes to mind. Some fell on good soil and took root and produced fruit. Some a little fruit, some a lot. Then some fell on, unfruitful soil, kind of a thing.
Some of it sprang up and just didn't make anything.
Yeah, some popped up real quick and that's how, you know, because we think sometimes, why me, Lord? Why me? Why did you call me? Why did you open, you know, have my eyes? They were just as blind as other people's today are to this biblical truth, you know, to the truth of his word, of who Jesus Christ is. You know, we look around. I'm sure we all have family members that just aren't called.
Oh yeah.
You know, or it's just, that's how it is. I'm sure we all have family members that, or friends at least, that, you know, we've shared the gospel message with, we've planted the seed, and you know, and it just doesn't take root. It just doesn't, nothing happens. It doesn't come up, nothing. You know, it's like it's stolen away. And that parable of the sower, you know, it's the seed is taken away before it can take root. And then there's some that, you know, boy, they hear the word and you might share something with them and they just seem to be on fire and all, this is just going good, and then, you know, it might go for a little bit, but that's it. And you know, we see that. I think of a young man, probably in his 30s, that was like that. Came to church, and man, when he heard this, it was the greatest thing ever. And this was when Pastor was still with us, and it was the greatest thing ever. And he came to church, and it was just, you know, this was the greatest thing. And he socialized with us outside of church if we'd get together, you know, for a Sunday dinner or, you know, different times, and everything was just great. For a little while, you know, and then something came up in his life, and it was a woman. Basically, it was sin. He let sin back into his life, and you know, when I think about a garden, I think about, like you said, Tim, about weeding and watering, and you know, preparing, setting up, you know, tilling you know, setting your layup, doing all the things. It's like, that's all you have to do those things, you know?
Yes. But
you have to. It's kind of like, that's life, right? Because if you don't till your garden, it's not going to work, is it?
No. And it's, if you don't have all of the foundation laid, then all of the other works for naught. You know, I mean, if you can't, my son went out and put in all the drip irrigation and got all that done. That was part of that infrastructure, that foundation structure that allows you to, once those plants begin to, you know, pop, you can keep them going. If you don't have that and you can't keep the water going to them, you don't even have to worry about the weeds. They'll just die from lack of water. I mean, there's a lot of those sort of things that have to be prepared. And
sure.
I, you know, like you said, to take it back to Christ. What did John the Baptist say? I came to prepare the way of him who is to come.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, well, he brought what? He brought water baptism in. He brought in the, hear him. Here's the Christ, you know. Listen to what he says. You know, and he prepared the hearts of the people for that. And there's an awful lot. Well, and if you go clear back to Genesis 3, basically, and I know that's the curse where it says it'll bring forth thorns and thistles, and you know, and by the sweat of your brow you'll eat your bread. But that's not only just a curse; that's just the way it is. I mean, that's what happened, and we have to deal with that. And like you said, it's our itinerary.
it is.
God gave us our itinerary and our handbook. He said, "Okay, this is where that's going to be then."
Right.
So,
and the more I think about it, the especially with you talking about the weeding and the text you sent me right before about the same thing. Gardening is weeding and tilling and layout and weeding and planting and weeding and watering and weeding and waiting and weeding and weeding some more. And finally, after all the weeding and waiting, the harvest. And, you know, I just couldn't help but think that isn't that how our life is, you know?
Exactly.
It is. I mean, we make plans, and we make plans throughout our life. You know, I think about the, you know, I had plans when we moved out here, we had plans to move to Missouri. We had bought 100 acres in south central Missouri, about 2 hours away from Branson. And it was beautiful. Rolling hills, fenced, cross fenced, natural creeks, a couple natural ponds, wild turkey, deer, a little fruit orchard, several buildings. It was just beautiful. And our plan was to go there. And to homestead and to do certain things and stuff. God had a better plan, a different plan. So and he brought us out here, and that was a much better plan. it sure was. And so, you know, we plan, and sometimes our plans change. We plant our seeds. We want to go either here or there, or maybe have a home here or a family there. And sometimes that changes. And you know, we certainly need watering. We need
Absolutely.
That water of life from Christ, you know, we really do. And we have to have that. I like how you put it too, Tim, about that drip irrigation. Because having that water, both the physical water, but also that spiritual water, is so foundational. Our people don't realize it. You know, in the physical today, most people are dehydrated. And they don't realize it, you know. I can drink coffee all day long. I don't, but I could. But you know, you do that, and it's dehydrating. And these sodas,
yes.
and you know, too much of these non-just water drinks will do that. They'll dehydrate you, and that's a big problem physically in our land today. And you know, it's just physically that way. And I think that is a, you know, it shows too that, you know, in our life, comparing it to a garden, we have to be watered. We have to have the physical water for our physical health, but we have to have that water of Christ, that living water, that Jesus puts
Absolutely.
On.
And if you think about your sin as weeds, you know, I mean, like,
yes.
And you said it, you were talking about the parable of the sower. You think about those weedings, and we say, well, if you have sin in your life, weed it out. You know, I've heard that many times over the years. You know, you get it weeded out, and it's then we have what, the parable of the tares.
Yes.
You know, and there's certain times and certain ways to weed. I think we're all into that's too incompassive. Some people are very much into shortcuts. And, you know, that gets you into trouble. The Lord gave us the itinerary. He said it's going to be this way. You're going to have to put so much sweat equity into your bread and into your survival because of the things that happened. And, you know, being the sinful nature of man says, ha, well, there's a loophole here. I can put Roundup on that, and that'll just get rid of the weeds.
Yeah,
but the problem is not only was Adam given an itinerary, the earth was too. If you read Genesis 3, he told the earth what it would do, and the earth will obey God. It will do what
yes.
He says, the Creator. And it doesn't matter how much Roundup, how much herbicide or whatever you put onto that, you know, the benefit of it is going to be short-lived, and the backlash may be much worse. In other words, what you shortcutted is going to come back and haunt you double-fold,
yes.
you know,
yes,
or triple-fold, or sin. And you can see that out there if you just look, you know. So we have people who want to take shortcuts that way. Then we have other guys who say, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw some serious power at this baby. I mean, we're going to get power. That's what we're going to do. And so they go down and buy the biggest tractor that they can possibly find and the biggest set of implements that they can possibly find. And they farm this ground to the ends. And, you know, they farm it out. I mean, we're running into that. I mean, I'm reading this in a lot of ag reports and a lot of other stuff all over the place. The ground's farmed out, which puts us back into a chemical imbalance. And we have people out there who truly love the land. That's the Adamic line's calling, you know. I mean, is to care for the garden. You know, that's what Adam did when he was created. It says he was placed in a garden and he cared it, took care of it, dressed it, kept it. And so, you know, there doesn't want to be that part, but those shortcuts can really cause us some problems, don't you think?
Yes. They can. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a smart way of doing things. Where you make good decisions, and you know, usually they come from learning from your bad decisions.
Experience.
Yeah. But you're right. There is a in a garden, if you don't till, you can't take that shortcut. If you don't have water, you can't take that shortcut. If you don't plant, you can't take that shortcut. You know, if you don't thin out, you know, it doesn't work. And and then that weeding, you know, that weeding. Now, you know, there's a saying that, you know, something to the effect of, you know, well, a job worth doing, you know, is worth doing, you know, go ahead and do it right the first time. And then it's
absolutely
done. And you know, you can sure do that with weeding. With weeding a garden, we gardened. The kids had gardens and 4-H and all that back years ago, and we've had gardens on and off. And you can go out and it's satisfying to go out and, you know, your plants are starting to pop up, and you go and weed and kind of hoe a little bit around and pull the weeds out and take a basket with you or a 5-gallon bucket, and all the weeds go in there so they won't, you know, regerminate. And you can spend hours sometimes, depending on the size of your garden and how much you want to put into it, in weeding, and look back and then sit back at the end of the day and it looks nice, just black earth and your little garden plants popping up. But you know,
it's
a very satisfying thing. It is when we can get our hands in the earth, when we can get dirty, so to speak. In the earth, it's what we were called to do. Like you said, Tim, the Adamic race, that they are the farmers. They were commanded to tend the earth, to tend the garden. But you know, a couple of then the next morning, that garden that you weeded real good may look just as good. But you know, then you got to go to work, and then that night you're busy, and you know, you just turn the water on, and a couple of days later you get out there to the garden, and guess what? There's weeds.
Get back after.
There's weeds. Now, your plants have grown, hopefully. Hopefully the raccoons or the deer or whatever haven't come in, the rabbits haven't messed them up too much. But your plants have grown, but there's weeds there again. And so, didn't I just take care of that problem? Yeah, but you got to do it again. And so you plan and you make time. You might not be able to do it then. It might be, Saturday, I've got to do that, or you know, tomorrow night or whatever. And the more I think about that, you know, that, like you had said, Tim, and I'm glad you brought it up, is that weeding, you know, is weed out the sin in our lives. Because we have to do that in our lives as well. We may, you know, and I've talked to people that are Christians now, that have been, we'll say, alcoholics, you know, that just couldn't only have a drink or two, you know, and let that rule them. And
sure.
And take charge of them and be in control of them instead of them being in control of it. And so they would get that out of their lives, you know. But they it seemed like that, and I just use it as an example, no one particular person I'm talking about here. But, you know, they continued to have to you know, when presented with that. Maybe friends are going out for a drink, or maybe they're at a restaurant and they bring the beer menu, or, you know, they drive by the liquor store. It keeps popping up. The sin would keep popping up, at least the opportunity for it in their life. And they would have to, you know, continue to address it. It wasn't like, you know, 10 years ago I said no to booze and that was it. You know, that
put
might
the switch and it's over.
Yeah, that might happen. Right. But it seems like more often it's like those weeds that keep popping up. And you have to keep back going. You have to keep going back and weeding that and pulling that out. And I picture that in my mind's eye, and I hope that's the point I'm getting across, folks, tonight, is that, you know, in our lives, we can repent and be baptized. We are to do that and have our sins washed clean. And it's like that garden that all the weeds, all the sin is gone. Okay? And in God's eyes, you know, we are. We are, when we obey Acts 2:38, then we are that. We're obedient to God. And we do have the blessings that come with that. But, you know, we still live in a fallen world. And we have to still continually weed our garden. We have to continue to see and recognize the sin that comes into our lives. You know, the Bible, I talked to a man years ago. And he put out, and it's probably some doctrine out there, but he said, oh no, when I repented and was baptized, he said, I have no more sin in my life. And I said, well, brother, I do it in love, but I'm going to call you a liar, because the Bible says he who has no sin and thinks he doesn't sin is a liar. And that's not just for non-Christians. It's not just for those that are Christians, you know. We live in a fallen world. That's why one of the reasons we do communion, one of the reasons that we have, you know, we don't go out and willfully sin. You know, we shouldn't do that. We, you know, and especially our Bible reading plan, we're reading through Romans. So you got any doubt about that? You know, should we sin more so that grace will abound more? You know, heavens, no. God forbid. No. Yeah. But we have to continue to weed the garden. I guess that's what I'm saying. I know I do in my life. I have to continue to, no, Lord, I'm not going to look at that. You know, I'm not going to look at that. Or I'm not going to think that. Or I'm not going to say that. You know, I feel like saying, oh man, what do I feel like saying to this guy? You know, sometimes. But, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm not.
I'm going to bridle my tongue. And
right.
I'm going to, yeah. Oh yeah. Hey, anybody who says they're not there, well, if you really never do have that problem, then the Lord's not testing you in that way, and I guess you have that step covered. Praise the Lord and congratulations. I'm not there yet. I have days I have to just kind of, you know, get a hold of myself and say, okay, I'm just not going to do that, you know.
Absolutely. So, you know, and you know, Tim, I'll ask you, when you weed that garden, you know, it's kind of a, you know, you probably don't do it once a month, right?
Oh, no, yeah, no. Uh-uh.
It's a little bit here, a little bit there. Like you talked about picking green beans tonight. You know, you might be picking green beans, and you come up, as you're going down the row, oh, there's a big weed. You know, there's something that popped
you're
up.
Pulling weeds.
How did I miss that?
Too.
Yeah, you might say, how did I miss that one? And you pull that thing, get down in the roots, and you pull it up, because you don't want it to grow. You don't want it to prosper. You don't want it to thrive. You want the good plant. And so
everyone you can get on the way by.
Yeah. And so it's not that, oh, no, right now we're harvesting, so we don't do weeds right now. No, it's... And folks, we got to remember that in our lives. You know, we might be right now, you know, hey, we might be going to church. Hey, we're tuned into the radio broadcast tonight. So, yeah, we're... Well, guess what? If sin pops up, whether it's a thought or whatever it may be, don't put it off till tomorrow. Don't say, oh, well, I'll take care of that tomorrow. Because, you know, you just like if you're in that garden and that weed's there, that's the time. When you notice it, that's the time to take care of it.
Exactly.
And it's like that in our life
with
sin. Go ahead, Tim.
It it occurred to me when you were talking about that, is there is no such thing, and it's this way in our Christian walk too, there is no such thing as overdoing it. You know, you can overwater a garden, and you can overplant one. I mean, you can plant your seeds too close together. All of the good things, you can almost overdo them, you know, to the detriment of it. I mean, that becomes whatever you want to call it, you're just too much of a good thing. But
right.
What you can't overdo is weed out the bad things. You can't overdo that. You know, you can pull those weeds, and it's the same way in our, as I said, in our Christian walk. We can, when you get the damage control done, and you get the worst of those sins weeded out, then there's a whole new crop of little ones coming right in there behind those that
yeah.
you can go in and get those taken out too. And
yep.
I don't know that you can really overdo it. I mean, it never stops. So,
Amen. You know, you can't, and like I said, you know, Tim, with your garden, you don't weed your garden once a month. You can't do that, because if you do, boy, you get in there and it's a mess and you're overwhelmed. Where do I even start? You know? And it's real easy to get in there and say, well, geez, it's gone this far. I guess it's going to be okay. I'll just have to settle for whatever I get, weeds and all. And, you know, we don't want to do that in our lives, but unfortunately so many people do. You know, they ignore a sin, or they just put up with it, or they just think that they can sin and get by, or they just convince themselves that, well, everybody's doing it, so, you know, I guess it's okay. And then before you know it, it's like that garden that hadn't been weeded in a month. And the weeds are bigger than the plants. And when you're pulling those weeds out, you're probably going to tear some of the plants up too. And it's not a good thing. And so, you know, when as we apply that to our lives, you know, when every one of us has to do this, should do this anyway. You know, we can't wait till church on Sunday morning. We can't wait on communion to confess our sins, to weed our garden. You know, we certainly do it at that time. That is a time that we judge ourselves when we come together for communion. We judge ourselves and we remember what our Lord did for us. And you know, if we do, if we have something against a brother, we're to forgive him. If it's something that, we're not to be the kind of people that hold grudges or that, the world talks about, revenge is a dish best served cold, you know, when everybody else has forgot about it, but not me. Oh no, I'll get him back when he least expects it. That's the world, people. That's not us. And so, you know, if you find yourself thinking like that, and I got to tell you, I'll confess my sin to you. I have those thoughts at times. And it's like, no, banish the thought. I'm not going to think that. Lord, I pluck that weed, and I pull that weed out of my garden and into the dumpster.
Oh, it's a tender one.
It is. Instead of yielding to that and letting that grow, you know, because the more you let it grow, the deeper the roots are going to get, the more spread out they're going to be, the harder it's going to be to get rid of that. And so, you know, we it's garden season, folks. It's harvest. It's, you know, here it is, the first good full 11th of a week and a half, almost 2 weeks into August now. And you know, the gardens are blooming. The farmer's market, I missed the one they had in town today. I didn't get away from the ranch today. But they'll have another one tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to going to it, because I know there'll be some good harvest, some good produce there. And we want that. God wants that in our lives. He wants it to be, what does he talk about? The good fruit, right? The good harvest. And if we can concentrate more on those good fruits of the Spirit, we will have those
Philippians 4:8.
That's what we're to do. But to have those, we have to weed out the sin in our lives. You know, and we have to be reminded of that. you know, you read through the apostles, and the apostle Paul writes, now this is the third time I'm writing to you about this, folks. You know, he felt he had to do it then, and you know, it sure seems that we have to do it now. I know I have to be reminded of it, and you know, but we can, if we will continually weed our own garden, if we will continually be honest with ourselves. You don't have to tell anybody about this. You don't have to tell anybody about the sins you get rid of in your life. That's between you and God. You know, our job here is to remind you to do that. Okay? And so, you know, if you got gardens out there, hey, when you're out there weeding the garden, you know, if you got sin in your life that are like weeds in your life, yeah, get rid of them. I like what you said there, Tim, while they're small and tender, while they're easy to get rid of, you know, you do that and the fruit will come. It really will. And it might not come overnight, but that garden doesn't grow overnight.
It just keeps getting stronger.
Tim, you guys were working on this right after first frost, weren't you? Way back in what, March?
Yeah.
March and
absolutely.
April?
Absolutely. We were doing the pre-planting, and we got the we put in some new ground, so we, you know, had to get it turned over and broke up. I mean, and that kind of stuff. We did that very early and then let it set a little bit, you know, and that way it got some of the early rain on it and then got it all laid out and got our rows in and there was a lot of there was a lot of work that went into that long before the seeds went into it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think a lot of times, you know, you ask yourself, well, nobody would water weeds. You know what I mean? They wouldn't water the weeds, but we do it in our own lives a lot of times. I mean, Philippians 4:8, when you were talking there, came to mind. And, you know, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Dwelling on those things and studying on them and feeding them is just like watering your watering the good plants.
Yes.
You know, water the good stuff. Don't water the weeds. Don't let them grow. Don't let them take over your garden. I mean, the garden of our life is like a paradise, and if we don't do anything to protect it or to keep it or to keep the weeds out and to keep it in order, and that goes back to order really too, doesn't
it? Yes.
I mean, if you think about it, the order in the home, the order of a Christian walk with God, those things are all, and a garden's the same way. The beans go here, the tomatoes go there, the cabbages are over here, and you know, the order of the watering cycles.
Yes.
Go on. I mean, we have a watering cycle. Every day there's a certain way that things get watered. And, you know, when you look at that, it all flows together into a godly, orderly world. And, you know, that's one of the things that you teach your children. I know we homeschooled all of our children, and, you know, it was God ordained mathematics. It's an orderly process. God ordained the seasons and all those things. It's all very orderly. And it's only when man messes it up as far as trying to have his own will or his own way but if they throw up their hands and let God, it goes right back to the way it was supposed to be, because that's what God does.
Right.
So praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen. And you know that order. Yeah, you ever wonder what it would be like if the seasons didn't come in order? You know? I mean, we're in the middle of summer here. It's going to be, we're August, June, July, August. We'll be September, I guess. We'll be easing into fall. You know, and then that'll run through,
sure,
you know, till the end of the year. And then, December, we'll ease into winter. For about 3 months, and then, you know, springtime next March, April, I guess, and you know, and so forth and so on. But, you know, but and that's because God is a God of order. You know, what would it be like if, you know, here summer's ending, and it goes straight to winter, wham, you know, or spring again, you know, or 3 more months of summer. Whatever. It's just the roll of the dice. Hey, whatever comes up, you know. No, that's not how God is. God is a God of order. You know, your garden wouldn't work, Tim, if the first thing you did was went out and planted seeds. You know, and no. Then you watered, and then you tilled the garden, and then you put rows in, and, you know, no, it's got to be in order. You know, it does. And there, you know, we see that, and we, people may think, well, that's, you know, kind of foolish to say, but no, there's, our God is a God of order, and, you know, there's things that have to happen. That foundation has to be laid in that garden, you know, the what kind of soil it is, does it need amendments, does it need fertilizer, does it need this, does it need that, maybe some lime, whatever, and you get that right first, and then you got to have your, like you said, Tim, your irrigation, and, you know, you get that kind of foundation set, and then you're ready to get going with it, and that really is how that garden in our life is. You know, we must have as Christians that foundation of Jesus Christ, His Word. Guess what, folks? His Word is truth. You know, my dad used to have a saying that he said, if I say blackberries are ripe, you better get a bucket. You know, and what he meant by that was, when I say it, don't ask, don't question, just do. You know, and yep. I guess they used to, I think that was something from his dad. When he, my father, sure. who's passed on, was real little, was they'd go pick, you know, blackberries. And it was like, listen, I said blackberries were ripe, get the bucket now. And you know, we have to be that way with God's Word. If God's Word says that a certain activity is sin, then guess what it is? It's sin.
Yes.
Now, there may be a preacher on TV or a president of the country saying that it's not, or the Supreme Court justice. Doesn't matter. If the Bible says it, it's truth. That's our foundation. That's our foundation. That, and you know, that's what this nation was built on. Because the families, the homes and the families were built on that foundation. And we can get back to it. We really can. But we just have to do it.
Absolutely.
We just have to get back and say, yes, God. And when we return to Him, oh, man. You know, it's like you said, Tim, it's we get that paradise. It's not perfect because we live in a fallen world. But it's a whole lot better with Him than without, you know.
Yeah,
and it's
absolutely.
A whole lot better. That garden is a whole lot better with those weeds plucked out. And your life, remnant, your life will be a whole lot better if you'll be honest with yourself, if you'll read His Word, and say that, you know, I got sin in my life, and I need to change it, you know. It's just as simple as that, you know. When you're in the checkout counter, and they got the, I mean, it's just good housekeeping anymore. But every magazine there is pornographic, got naked women on it,
yes.
and telling about great sex and this and that, blah blah blah. You know, turn your eyes from it. I have to, and I tell my children, you know, don't look at that. Let's don't look at that.
Yeah.
You know, because if you look, you'll keep looking. You know, it's a sinful nature we have.
I like to pick them up and turn them around backwards and put them back on the shelf.
I have done that. I have done that.
So, I've had people on more than one occasion say, thank you.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to look at that. So, you know, you just don't, absolutely. Do not, and I think a lot of times you need to prioritize. You know, if you've waited a little bit to weed your garden, you've got some big ones out there. You've got to get those out first thing because they're getting bigger every day.
Yeah.
So it's just the same way in our life. You know, obviously, if you have the sin of laziness or something, that may not be as bad as if you had the sin of whoremongering or of whatever. If those things, and if those things are in your life, prioritize them a little bit and
right.
get rid of and, the big of the big
right.
ones.
And start. At least start. You know? You know, every journey begins with that first step. And so start, you know. If the garden's a mess, you know, when we get back from Branson and we've had heat and rain out here, you ought to see the ranch. It's a mess. There's weeds and grass everywhere, and it's almost like, where do you start? But you just start. You know, you just get started, and you get a little bit done, a little bit more, and a little bit of sweat, and you want to get in for a glass of iced tea. Nope, I'm going to keep working. And before long, it starts shaping up. And I know that's how your garden is when you start pulling those weeds. And that's, folks, that's how your life can be. You just start a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. And if you, you know, hey, if you're moved to get out there and work all day in it and get all the weeds out, hallelujah, that's a great thing. Well, Tim, we're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. And, man, I've enjoyed this conversation. I'm looking forward to some more goodies out of that garden. That cantaloupe we had was, it was delicious. Thank you. Thank you again for sharing all that.
Well,
so,
thank you for having me, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. So,
amen.
And it was good to be on, so thanks.
Amen. Thank you. Well, folks, we're going to go out with Psalms 83. That's in our Bible reading plan for today. And I encourage you to be reading your Bible, and hope you like this. I do.
By Carl Klein. Do not be silent, God. Or unresponding, do not remain at rest, Almighty One. For now your foes arise and make a clamor, your bitter enemies lift up the head. Against your people now they plot in secret. They meet to work against your hidden ones. They say, let's go up now and end their nation. The name of Israel shall be no more. Together they conspire in deadly earnest. Against you they have made their covenant. The Ishmaelites are there, the tents of Edom, the men of Moab with Hagarines are there. See Jebel Amalek with men of Ammon. Behold Philistia and them of Tyre. For Asher too has come and joined their forces. They are the power of the sons of Lot. Treat them like Midian, like Jabin's army. Treat them like Sisera at Kishon's brook. At Endor they were all annihilated, and they became as dung upon the ground. Like Oreb make their chiefs their lords, like Zeba, who thought they would possess the land of God. My God, oh, make them be like whirling dust clouds. Make them like bits of chaff before the wind. Like fire that burns the woods, like flames of lightning. Pursue them with your storms and strike with fear. Fill up their faces with humiliation. And let them seek your name. Let them be terrified and shamed forever. And let them be dismayed and be destroyed. Let them know you alone, you are the one most high o'er all the earth. Do not be silent, God, or unresponding. Do not remain at rest, O mighty one. For now your foes arise and make a clamor. Your bitter enemies lift up the head. Against your people now they plot in secret. They meet to work against your hidden ones. They say, let's go up now and end their nation. The name of Israel shall be no more. Together they conspire in deadly earnest. Against you they have made their covenant. The Ishmaelites are there. Their faces.